plate a potential nugget.
In terms of internal self-awareness, you also talk about the distinction between mindfulness and meditation. And you say that meditation does not necessarily lead to mindfulness. What's the insight here, and how does one get to non-meditative mindfulness, if there's a term like that?
Sure. Yeah, and you're bringing up a really important issue. I would slightly tweak that to say meditation isn't the only way we can be mindful, because there's so many of us who are type A people, or we're so busy we can't imagine finding 20 minutes to sit in silence. And meditation is associated, obviously, with mindfulness, and that link has been really clearly established. It's also linked to self-awareness. So people who meditate tend to be more self-aware as a whole. But the question I wanted to answer is, what about the people who don't meditate? Is there still some way that we can be mindful, in spite of maybe not practicing that? And I go back and forth with meditation. Sometimes I get on a really good streak, and sometimes I fall off the wagon. But what we discovered were several non-meditative mindfulness tools. And the way to think about these that made it click for me is what does it really mean to be mindful? And, there's a lot of nuance to this, but at a high level, it means noticing what's happening in ourselves and our environment without judgment. And what's really important is you're noticing new things. Again, you're not getting trapped in rumination. You're not going down the spiral of introspections. You're just seeing what is. So here's one example of a non-meditative mindfulness tool that we saw in our unicorns. It's called comparing and contrasting. Mm-hmm. So basically what you do is, if you're experiencing a positive or negative state, instead of getting down that introspective rabbit hole, here's an example of what you could do. So let's say you get home from work one day and you're just in a terrible mood. Instead of saying, why am I in such a terrible mood? You could say, when are the other times that I've felt this way in my recent memory, right? So you might think, oh gosh, I remember feeling this way last week, and I remember feeling this way a couple of months ago. And then you ask yourself, what do those things have in common? So, I tell a story in my book about how I felt terrible after coming home from work for enough days in a row that I realized that was my pattern. Is about 2 years after I started any job, I would just get sort of, I would feel disempowered, and I wouldn't feel like I was doing good work or I was satisfied with it. And that led me to the discovery, as I looked at all those similarities, that maybe I'm not built to work in a corporation or for someone else. But by not getting too sucked into that feeling and just noticing that state as it was related to things I could remember in the past, it led to a really big insight. So that's just one example of the tools, but I think it's a powerful one.
The other habit that I've seen several leaders use to become more mindful is some sort of journaling. This is not just business CEOs, but leaders from other disciplines. In this podcast, I spoke to Dr. Ramachandra Guha, a celebrated historian who spent several decades studying Gandhiji. He spoke at length about how Gandhiji would keep a diary where he would reflect and process all the complexity around him and stay mindful of what was going on. Another guest on the podcast was Vinay Sitapati, another historian who's written the book Half Lion. In the book, he profiles the journey of Narasimha Rao, arguably one of the most influential prime ministers India has seen. More specifically, he speaks about how Narasimha Rao managed to get so much done despite several constraints around him, and he specifically referred to his practice of keeping a diary.
And Narasimha Rao's ability to be introspective, to be inward, helped him sift the day into what, or to put it in statistical terms, to be able to sift the signal from the noise. So I think that's the first thing that introspection taught him, that, one is it taught him don't trust anyone except your diary, which is a pretty good skill in politics. Second is that you should be able to sift the signal from the noise. Who are the people you met every day? How many people are being honest? How many people are lying? To give you just one example, one of the diary entries which I have in the book is from 22nd May 1991. Right? This is the day after Rajiv Gandhi has been killed in near Chennai. And Narasimha Rao, who until then had been basically eased out of the Congress and was about to become a monk in a monastery called Kottralam in Tamil Nadu and was closing his bank accounts, is suddenly realizing that by virtue of being the least ambitious man in the party, he's primed to be Prime Minister of India, right? And the diary shows, 22nd May, he's back in Delhi. He's in 10 Janpath, where Sonia Gandhi and Rajiv used to live. And, you know, pieces of Rajiv Gandhi's body, they're just pieces, they're not the full body, are kept there. And all the congressmen are around the body pretending to cry, some of them actually crying, while actually trying to maneuver to see who would succeed him. And he has this wonderful passage about how Pranab Mukherjee, who was in the boondocks then, but would later recover to become President of India, wheedles up to him and says, "We think you should become Prime Minister, Congress President," which is the proxy for Prime Minister of India. And Narasimha Rao immediately says, "I immediately told him that, you know, that it was, you know, that I'm not the right person," right? Knowing full well the kind of person he is. "I also gave him the name of N.D. Tiwari for Prime Minister of India, knowing that he was even less likely a candidate than I am," right? And I think the introspection in the diary allows him to do that. It allows him to reflect over the day. You know, otherwise, you know, think of it. Somebody else come, you know, Pranab Mukherjee came up to me and says, "Maybe you should be Prime Minister of India." I wouldn't stop to ask what's his anger, right? So I think the introspection gave him that ability. I think the third thing introspection gave him was to take the long view. You know, often we're so caught up in the moment that we're unable to, you know, to see short-term benefit from long-term, long-term costs, and unable to separate that, right? For example, Narasimha Rao was frequently sidelined from the party, frequently. He never complained. He never protested against Indira Gandhi. He never protested against Rajiv Gandhi. And very soon he would be back. Whereas people like Sharad Pawar, right? Arjun Singh, right? Or N.D. Tiwari, at the first sign that they were out of favor in the Nehru-Gandhi court, would either form a separate party or sulk or protest. And their careers would end. You know, instead of just kind of, you know, taking it and, you know, hoping that your luck changes, which happened to Narasimha Rao. Now look, not everybody's luck changes, right? But I think Narasimha Rao's ability to take the long view and not make silly short-term beneficial decisions also contributed to the kind of career he had.
I guess the key point is that there are many paths to being mindful than just meditation. It's worth keeping an open mind and not giving up if meditation is not up your alley. Some people speak about reflecting about some of the deeper issues when they're running or swimming. I guess we all need to find our own mechanism that works for us, but the key is to create some space for us to reflect, whether it's meditation or otherwise. If this topic is of interest, do refer to Nugget 30.03 with Vinay Sitapati at playtopotential.com or Nugget 41.05 with Rich Fernandez. You could also listen to the nuggets at the playlist titled Mindfulness in the curated playlist section at playtopotential.com. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com.